Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Christina. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am a writer of assorted books. I've written 16 books. The 7 books urban fantasy series, the Blackwing series, which is actually set in Chicago. I've written a horror-ish version of Alice in Wonderland, which is a 3-book series, Alice, Red Queen, and Looking Glass. Standalone books, Lost Boy, which is the true story of Captain Hook, The Girl in Red, which is a pandemic story, actually, which came out last year. The Mermaid, which is a historical fiction novel about P.T. Barnum and the Fiji Mermaid. And forthcoming, I have The Ghost Tree, which will be out in September, about it's a coming-of-age horror novel about a Midwestern town under a curse.
And I can't wait to talk about The Ghost Tree. So what was that journey to get that first book published?
It was a little bit strange. It definitely had a non-traditional route. Most people get an agent, which I do recommend, because you can generally get a better deal up front if you have an agent, and your agent will do a better job of protecting your rights. At the time when I was submitting, so this was about, I wrote the book in 2008, and I started submitting basically as soon as I finished it. And I spent about 8 months trying to get an agent, couldn't get one. Started to get a little bit frustrated because I was very, very confident that the book was publishable. I didn't think the book was the greatest book ever written, but I was like, this book is pretty good, and I think someone would publish it if it would get in front of the right person. And that was Black Wings. That was my first book. And at the time, Ace Rock, which is the science fiction fantasy imprint under the Penguin umbrella at the time, and they were doing open submissions, which means you could submit without an agent. So I submitted via their contact form on their website, a query letter in the first 10 pages. And about a week after I submitted, an editor got in touch with me and asked for a partial, which is the first 3 chapters of your book. I submitted the partial, and very shortly after that, she asked me for the whole manuscript. I sent it in, and literally a week after that, she called me and offered me a 3-book contract.
Oh, wow.
So it was very strange. It was very shocking. But that was, I really feel like that was a timing thing where like my book got in front of the right person at the right time. It was going through those open submissions, in the industry, it's called the slush pile. And, I feel like I got lucky because that allowed me to get my foot in the door. And then actually, once I had a contract, it was a lot easier for me to get an agent, because then I started to make, network with people in the industry. And I got my agent, Lucienne Diver, because I did an event with Chloe Neal, another writer who's on the Ace Rock imprint. And her agent was Lucienne, and she recommended me to Lucienne. So I definitely had an unusual kind of journey, but I've been very fortunate because I've been able to stay working pretty much since I started. So I've been doing this for about 10 years.
That's amazing. You published 16 books. That's a lot. So
Well, I mean, they're not all published yet. There's 13 out. So 14 will be out in September. The 15th will be out this following spring, which is, that book is called Near the Bone. And then I have another book that I just handed in. That's my 16th manuscript. So
that's so incredible. That's a lot of writing. So
it is.
So let's talk about your writing process. Do you follow an outline? Do you see where the story leads? Are you a plotter? Are you a pantser? How does that process go about for you?
I'm 100% a pantser. Like, when I start a book, I really have nothing to go on when I start writing a book. Usually it's just an image. It might be one line. I might just see the very beginning of the book, but I don't have anything resembling a concrete plot. And one of the things that I enjoy about writing is the feeling of discovering the story as I go and discovering it almost the way a reader would, where a lot of times I have no idea what's going to happen next until I write it. And then a lot of times, you know, if a reader is surprised by something in my books, I was just as surprised when I was writing it. I think it makes it sound a little bit like magic, but it's not magical. It's really just that I'm kind of lazy and I let my subconscious do a lot of the work for me. And then I just kind of sit down and let it come out instead of concretely plotting. But the interest for me is to discover the story. I feel like if I wrote the outline, I wouldn't be as interested in writing the book.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. I think just like your process allows to just uncover, and that feels more exciting than just knowing what's going to happen.
But I think that, you know, obviously for every writer, it's different. And a lot of times I'm on panels at conventions and stuff with other writers who talk about their very complex, you know, sort of outlining and drafting process. And I always feel like I'm not a real writer because they're all very sort of serious and business-like about it. And I'm just like, woo, let's see where this goes.
I think outlining is great for editors to know, like, oh, there's a book happening and here's what we can expect. But I think for writers who may not, who just want to uncover the story, who has a pile of muck and you're just like clearing it up, it's an exciting process. It makes writing feel more exciting about it. So,
yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So you run Terry. So I'm curious to know, how do you organize yourself as a writer? How do you keep track of ideas, inspirations, characters, the different tidbits of, you know, that makes the series go around?
I love that you're saying organization when I'm so not organized. I mean, I pretty much, I start at the beginning and I end at the end. So I write chronologically. So I don't, I never write out of order. So even on the rare occasions when something might occur to me that's going to happen farther down the line, I don't write it down. I just sort of hold it in my head and then kind of write to the point where that would happen. So, and a lot of my stories are like, the plot is driven by the characters and like who the characters are. So I feel like I don't think about plot in that sort of really concrete way, like this has to happen here or there has to be a turning point there, because so much of the plot is driven by the character's decision making.
Yeah, I think I can see that. After reading your book, I'm like, yeah, I can see that. So awesome. So do you share work along the way? Do it's completed to others to read?
I do not share my work with anybody when I'm writing it. Like the first time anybody's going to see that book is like when my editor and agent see it when it's done. Because some writers really sort of thrive on that feedback, but because of the very kind of idiosyncratic way that I have of writing, I just don't want anyone else's head in my head when I'm working. So for me, it's really about just sort of staying true to what I'm feeling when I'm going through the process initially. I'll take feedback once that's done, you know, once that process is completed, but I don't want anybody sort of in there when I'm actually working on it.
Awesome. So let's talk about the ghostwriting. So what was the process of writing like a page turning for dark fantasy book? You know, because it was like, it just kept me engaged throughout the whole book, which is not usually, it's not normal, at least for me. Someone who's like reads like a lot of thrillers and stuff, like this book kept me engaged. What was that process like? Was it just-
I love to hear that. it was, so the Ghost Tree was a little bit of an experiment for me. I had done another book that had multiple points of view. The Mermaid has three point of view characters, but there's like nine point of view characters in the Ghost Tree. And I think in a lot of ways that helped me when I was writing, because I was just kind of switching to the person I thought sort of should have their say next in the story. And again, because so much of the plot is sort of driven by the character's decision making, a lot of times decisions that characters would make, you know, when I was in their point of view would impact things that would happen in the next segment or in the next chapter. So I think of all of my books, I've enjoyed writing The Ghost Tree the most. That was one of those books where every day I would get up and I would be so excited to work on the book, like to see what happened next. And I feel really passionate about it because in horror, you see a lot of coming of age novels, but they're about boys. Mm-hmm. And I wanted so much to write a coming of age story that was like the ones that I liked reading when I was growing up, but about girls, you know. And there's a little bit, there's definitely in the writing of this novel, there was a little bit of an homage, like to the kinds of books I read when I was younger, like Stephen King, or like I put a fair in the book mostly because I loved Something Wicked This Way Comes by Ray Bradbury when I was growing up. And I just wanted to have these sort of little homages to the kinds of stories that I liked when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love that this was centered around girls, around their, it was like a female lineage as opposed to patriarchy. Like, it just felt like very like female centric, and at the same time, like all these horror stuff was happening. You know, the town was cursed and the whole process of it. And one thing I loved, and there's something to point out, the characters pointed out, was like the main character's father passed away. Mm-hmm. And so the way the main character's father passed away has been addressed in the story is by her name, like, oh, Lauren's dad, you know? And
right.
I think that was very unique, because you don't think about grown-ups to be like, oh, just like, you know, the high schooler is going to be the person who's like, who's the connector of it.
And part of that is sort of the function of the way the curse works in the story. But like, yeah, there's this idea that like the girls are really the center of this. Like they are the sun, you know, and all the other things are sort of planets that satellite, you know, that are satellites around them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And it was just, I really wanted to write a girl's coming of age story because there's this idea, I think, that men's experience is universal, but women's experience is specific. Mm-hmm. And I hate that. Mm-hmm. I hate that so many men won't read books with female characters because they're like, oh, well, that's a girl thing. You know, that's over there. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to go into this with the idea that this is a book for everyone, the same way you would think of a book by a male author as something mm-hmm. for everyone.
Yes. I love it. So this book was set in the 80s, I think. Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1985.
There we go. What was that research process like? Because it was just like, it brought more atmospheric and it just like, it transported you to an olden time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up in that era. You know, I was born in 1974. So I remember 1985. And I remember it being a part of my childhood. And again, this sort of is a throwback to the types of books. Like when you read a book by Stephen King, he'll where he has younger characters, they are in the 50s, right? Because that's when he grew up. Mm-hmm. So he writes about the time that he knows and the times that he experienced and the times that he remembered fondly. And so I wanted to do that too, and write about something that I knew, a time when I grew up. The character's a little older than I was at that time. But the biggest thing as far as research went was making sure that my memory of a thing happening actually happened that year. So if I thought, oh, I was listening to this song in 1985, I would go back and double check like the Billboard charts to see if the song was actually out that year. Or I would double check to make sure like what week did certain movies come out and things like that. It was mostly, it wasn't like research per se as much as it was fact checking.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think, you know, I grew up in the 80s, so just like it just took me back to my childhood for me. Like certain things, I was like, did it happen? And it was like, it was definitely like, I think it just brought you and a sense of like to the story that it added a new layer. So this book has a lot of twists and turns, and I don't think we get to figure out the whole story until the very end. Mm-hmm. How fun was it to, you know, add at times like little tidbits, little Easter eggs, little reminders, like there's a twist or there's like something that you'll make sense if you just keep reading the story?
I mean, in terms of the overall plot, some of those things were laid in early on, but definitely more of it happened sort of in the rewrite process when I was working with my editor to sort of make sure that everything was laid out correctly. You know, I didn't significantly change the order of the book, but there was definitely like, okay, we just need a little bit of a paragraph here, like added in. We need a little bit of something there, you know, so that you just start to... Yeah, just kind of get that sense that something's really wrong. And that I think what's interesting in the story, too, is obviously you have Lauren, who's the main character of the book, but who's trying to solve this mystery. But you also have Alex, who's the police officer, an adult, trying to solve the mystery, too, but from a completely different point of view. So... I think it's sort of interesting because you have this chance as the reader to watch their ideas converging.
Mm-hmm. And then we had David, who's like the four-year-old, who, you know, part of the curse, he gave us the clues, which was, so how difficult was it to write David as a character? Because he brings up a lot of different things in the story.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing with David was trying to sort of lay in just enough, you know, not make it so that he was giving away plot elements per se, but definitely so that the things that he was saying were adding tension or adding suspense or creating, you know, questions in the reader's mind. And again, like David is an homage to the kinds of books that I read in the 80s where you would read these books about creepy kids, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like they were everywhere in the 80s. You'd have some kid who had some supernatural power, and he was definitely a little bit of an homage to those kinds of characters from that. I really had a lot of fun when I was writing this book, like sort of playing with existing tropes and sort of feeling like I was in conversation with other books that had come before me.
I love it. I really enjoy this book a lot. I think for me it was a great experience to explore horror in a sense of that it doesn't have to be this. For me, it's not the typical genre that I will go for. And so it was really exciting to just read a book that it was like, I can identify with Lauren's journey and Lauren's experience and coming of age, and at the same time, be engaged with the different twists and turns that the story will lead. And the setting of the 1980s, like it felt like it was just like a fun book to read, even though it has some, you know, some killing and some horror. It felt like a really fun book to read.
I love hearing that because I feel like I put so much of my heart into this book and it's so important to me. And, you know, so the early feedback from women like you, who have said, like, you know, the book speaks to the, to some degree, to their experience, you know. That's such a positive thing to feel as a writer, that, you know, you're sort of filling a void, you know, that there's something out there that women have been looking for, who, you know, who read this genre, or maybe who don't read the genre. I mean, I think the thing about horror is that a lot of people don't think of themselves as horror readers, but the horror is a big tent. You know, there's a lot of different kinds of stories that can sort of fit under that tent. And I think that there's a lot of space for different kinds of writers and also different kinds of readers, you know, to come in and, like, be a part of this genre.
This is exciting. So, all right, now let's get to a round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity for you to share with the audience what you should read next. What is your favorite genre?
So I literally will read anything. I will read anything under the sun. If it's a book and it looks interesting to me, I'll read it. I read all fiction genres. I read nonfiction. I read science. I read history. I mean, I will read anything. The book will stand still long enough, I will get to it eventually.
I love it. What has been a book that you read this past year that you love?
I think I would say a book that came out in this year that sort of took me by surprise that I really enjoyed was Pretty as a Picture by Elizabeth Little. And that was, that came out a few months ago. And it's a book, it's a sort of mystery thriller about has a very unusual heroine, which is one of the things I liked about it. And she's a film editor, and she's going to this island to work with this sort of notoriously demanding director. And he's making a film about a murder that actually occurred on that island. And of course, because it's a mystery, there's more things that happen. But it's a great book. I had not read anything by her before. I picked it up, read it in an afternoon. I was like, I cannot put this book down.
Oh my gosh.
It was fantastic.
I'm loving the habits. It's the best. So, tell us where you can find it online.
I will say that I'm deeply terrible about updating my blog, but if you're looking for book news, you can usually find it there, ChristinaHenry.net. I am on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is @C_Henry with a capital H _ author, capital A. I'm on Instagram @AuthorChristinaHenry, and I am on Facebook @AuthorChristinaHenry.
Awesome. Thank you, Christina, for being on the show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed this.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance-loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.